right? Because when our GDP doesn't go as high, then our debt payments increase. And I think for all of the blustering and talk around the deficit and the kind of crazy spending that has happened kind of in, you know, in the earlier parts of the century, which again, I think both sides agree on, we've literally created a recipe for the opposite of that. And I think you'll see with GDP growth slowing, the deficit growing as well.
Yeah. I mean, anyone who is a student of American history would know that President Hoover instituted massive tariffs that led very quickly to the economic collapse and the Great Depression, which, you know, hopefully that's not where we're headed, but it does seem like a very striking rebound, or, you know, echoing of that historical event right now.
Yeah. And, you know, with all that being said negatively, we also wanted to talk about kind of what's been being done about it.
Yes, absolutely. And so, yeah, of course, that is, we, you know, it's a lot of negative news barraging us right off the bat there. And that's kind of maybe the point of what this administration is doing. They're instilling chaos and trying to keep us on our, you know, off balance.
Yeah, individually, these stories are so crazy. Yes. But when you combine them all together, they all kind of feel minuscule next to each other.
But there are some positive things that have happened. You know, we discussed the attack on federal workers, and there's mass layoffs. But there's actually now a judge has ordered the Trump administration and Elon Musk's Department of Governmental Efficiency, or DOGE, to stop mass layoffs and to reinstate the fired workers. So these mass firings really began in earnest in mid-February, and have basically been ongoing ever since, including, you know, up until last week when the Department of Education announced that it would cut about 50% of its workforce. But on Thursday, March 13th, a California federal judge ordered that the Trump administration immediately reinstate tens of thousands of jobs for probationary federal workers who were fired as part of, you know, the DOGE efficiency campaign to essentially gut the federal workforce, which is being done under the guise of, you know, allegedly cutting wasteful spending, but really it is just a means of breaking the government in order to privatize everything, as we said. Now, you know, this whole process began because Musk's team sent emails to federal workers offering buyouts and demanding that they justify their jobs, you know, even going so far as to say, like, give me, you know, five things that you did each day or something like that. So, of course, that has gotten a lot of attention. But as a response to that, Judge William Alsup ruled that workers must be rehired across numerous federal agencies, including the Departments of Agriculture, Defense, Energy, Interior, Treasury, and Veterans Affairs. And the judge also ruled in favor of numerous plaintiffs that brought the suit against the Trump administration's Office of Personnel Management. Now, this order also prohibits the OPM, the Office of Personnel Management, from advising any federal agency on which employees to fire. And additionally, the judge also is requiring that these agencies provide documentation of compliance to the court. So this is absolutely, this can be viewed as a win. You know, mm-hmm. whether or not it is a permanent stay of execution for these workers or not, it is absolutely a win in the right direction here. And, you know, the plaintiffs who brought this case to the judge against the federal government are the American Federation of Government Employees, or AFGE, as well as the AFL-CIO and several other unions representing thousands of federal workers. They brought the suit in February over OPM's illegal program of terminating employees who are within the first year of their positions or who were recently promoted to new positions within the agency. And AFGE's national president, Everett Kelly, said in a statement that the union is, quote, pleased with Judge Alsup's order to immediately reinstate tens of thousands of probationary federal employees who were illegally fired from their jobs by an administration hell-bent on crippling federal agencies and their work on behalf of the American public. Now, of course, unsurprisingly, the White House plans to contest this ruling. And in a statement, the White House press secretary, Carolyn Leavitt, said, quote, a single judge is attempting to unconstitutionally seize the power of hiring and firing from the executive branch. The president has the authority to exercise the power of the entire executive branch. A singular district court judge cannot abuse the power of the entire judiciary to thwart the president's agenda. If a federal district court judge would like executive powers, they can try and run for president themselves. the Trump administration will immediately fight against this absurd and unconstitutional order. Now, you know, unshockingly, that is a complete misunderstanding of the, you know, checks and balances, the balance of power that exists within our government. I mean, the president is not a king, he's not a monarch, and he does not have unilateral power to enact his agenda in this manner. But of course, they don't see it that way, and they will, of course, say, you know, speak on it in a way that might convince people who aren't aware of the balance of powers that, that this is an overstep on the part of the judge. But, you know, the in their original complaint from February 19th, the unions who brought the case argued that Congress, you know, controls and authorizes federal employment and spending, and that lawmakers have empowered the federal agencies, not OPM, not the executive branch, to manage their own employees. So OPM's official function really is to administer employee benefits. So it essentially serves as the government's Department of Human Resources and really does not have the constitutional or statutory or regulatory authority to order federal agencies to terminate their employees.
Yeah. To your point about chaos earlier, I think there has been a lot within the U.S. federal government that is understood or agreed upon and maybe not written as clearly as we would like. And I think what's going to happen with this second Trump administration is a lot of things that we took for granted are not actually going to be followed by the administration and are going to basically be pushed against, right? And he's going to see how far he can take it, right? From kind of, not approving Supreme Court justices and getting kind of this off balance kilter that we have in terms of shifted more right. These were there were rules in which way people acted. And I think in particular, right, like mass firings of low level employees is not something that you typically see, or removing people based on their political affiliation. But also in addition to that, I think this is a maybe not a prime opportunity, but I think we are going to see the horizon or the frontier of public workers and their rights be kind of brought to the forefront.
Yeah.
You know, during the Biden administration, we talked a lot about the Railway Act that essentially didn't allow train conductors to go on strike and hurt the economy. This is a very old law that got passed by Congress and, you know, made it that way. That was private workers.
Yeah.
But we're also seeing it now here with public workers, right? These are employees and workers that the Trump administration feels like it can control. We didn't cover it, but in the news, a bunch of New York State prison guards got let go because they tried to go on strike, and there was a law, you know, within the New York State that public employees couldn't go on strike. I think this is all going to come to the forefront because these kind of more understood, unsaid boundaries are just being completely pushed by this administration.
And yeah, I mean, of course, it's not shocking that they would go after all these public employees, because the public sector is really the only part of the American economy where there is intense union density. Mm-hmm. I mean, the private sector, there are unions, absolutely, but the majority of workers are not unionized. In the federal government, a large portion of those workers are unionized, and so the strongest unions do exist on the public sector, on the government job side. And so, of course, that would be where they would try and break the labor movement first, is, you know, of course, in the place that they can control, but also the place where there is the most union power, concentrated power in this country. And yeah, it's positive to see that a judge has stood up against them, because it does seem like they are, in the tech parlance, like they're moving fast and breaking things. And by the time, you know, as you said, like there's a lot of the things that we believe in or that we think are instituted are actually just norms and you know, bylaws that people follow but are not actually codified. And so, you know, the administration can move quickly and do a lot of things that we think maybe should be illegal but aren't technically against the rules.
Yeah.
And then it will take a long time for the justice system to follow up and actually reverse these things. And so they'll have broken a lot of stuff before the regulatory body can fix that.
And we're not talking about servers going down or ad networks not being delivered. We're talking about school lunches not being delivered, right? EBT,
meals on wheels.
EBT not getting to families, right? This is like, this is, the government is a gigantic company and it's also not, right? And I think any reasonable person could understand that sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like running the government as a company is just not a correct way to look at what government provides. But even if it was, you know, coming in and acting in this way, firing a bunch of people who have institutional knowledge, is not a great way to run a company. It's not a great way to come in and immediately destabilize the company you've taken over in the first place. So even if that were a proper way to run a government, they are not doing that in the proper way. And we are coming to the end of our program here. But first, I just want to let our listeners know that KBOO is in the middle of our annual All Thrills, No Frills Volume 4 special programming campaign. So right after the show, be sure to go check out our full range of specials by going to kboo.fm/ATNF4. And now here we are to conclude Labor Radio. We will, of course, follow up on these stories. And, you know, as new developments happen, we will touch back on these things. But for now, it is at least positive to look and see that there are judges, you know, pushing back, and that the labor movement is not taking this sitting down, of course. So we will be back with you next month. But thank you so much for listening to Labor Radio. I've been Michael Cathcart.
And I'm Elliot Gilland.
Ezekue for Ear to the Streets of Portland on the best community radio station on the planet, KBOO Community Radio, KBOO Portland.
This is KBOO Portland.